Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 4, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Zechariah chapter 1, let's start at verse 2. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger. And that's an anthropopathism. Anger is a sin, but it's an anthropopathism to explain the function of the holiness of God. God is holy. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And that's what we have here. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger, with your forefathers. Verse 3. Therefore, say to them, this is God telling Zechariah to the remnant of the returnees, thus says the Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, turn back to me, declares the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, and I will turn back to you. That is, the righteousness and justice of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the third time in this verse. Verse 4, do not be like your forefathers, that is, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, once again, change your thinking. Turn from your evil ways, your evil way of life, and turn from your evil MO, your evil practices. But they would not listen, and they would not give attention to me, declares the Lord. Well, this is the beginning of Zechariah, and he's talking about the importance of turning back to God and the Word of God. And here we have these returnees coming back to the southern kingdom Judah under the decree of Cyrus and Darius. Cyrus being a spiritually mature believer, Darius being a spiritually mature believer. Lots of winner believers in Iran, which was Persia at that time. A big pivot of mature believers. And Cyrus and then Darius gave a decree for a portion of the Jews to return to the land. But the main reason was to rebuild the temple so that they could worship the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the purpose was make sure you get your priorities straight, your spiritual priorities. And therefore, you must rebuild the temple. Why? That's where the living and true God, Jesus Christ, dwells in the Holy of Holies. And we worship the living and true God there. So this was the opportunity for them to get their spiritual priorities in order. And the thing is, that's exactly where we are in America today. And unfortunately, most Christians do not have their spiritual priorities in order. Everything else is more important than God and the Word of God. And we have a lot of Christians in America. That's not the problem. It's just that most of them are living out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, and they have made themselves a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution. As goes the believer in Jesus Christ, so goes the client nation to God. And we are in that area in our nation where we're very close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. But we're still here, and there's still an opportunity for us, just like there was an opportunity for the Jews in Jeremiah's day. But they didn't listen to Jeremiah. In fact, they didn't even like Jeremiah. They didn't like the doctrine that Jeremiah taught. And in fact, they wanted to destroy and kill Jeremiah. Well, God preserved Jeremiah. But that southern kingdom, Judah, went out through the fifth cycle of national discipline. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. He sat up on a hillside and watched Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans come. And Nebuchadnezzar was brought there by God. God brought an evil nation, evil one, the Chaldeans, to come and destroy evil two, the client nation to God, in apostasy and degeneracy. Nebuchadnezzar was brought by the Lord Jesus Christ to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. And they did. And Jeremiah sat on the hillside and watched the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the slaughter of the people. And there were a few survivors, and they left on a death march back to Babylon, and 70 years in slavery in Babylon. And then the Medes and the Persians defeated the Chaldeans, and then they were in Persia. Well, Zechariah is a young man, but he is a servant of the Lord. prophet, and he is God's man to tell these returnees coming back. They're coming back, but most of them have not turned back to God and His Word. Most of them do not have their spiritual priorities in order. And Zechariah was the man of the day. And God used Zechariah to communicate the grace and truth of the Word of God to His people. And they listened to Zechariah. They listened to Zechariah. They repented. They turned back to God and His Word. They got their priorities straight. They rebuilt the temple, completed it, so that they could worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ, as He dwelt in the Holy of Holies. This is a fantastic book because it starts out right where we are in America. Zechariah is giving a very stern warning to the Jews who have returned from exile. He is declaring, do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah. They thought they were simply rejecting the teaching of a man. Jeremiah was holding fantastic. Jeremiah is one of the greatest prophets and communicators of the Word of God ever. And they thought they were just rejecting a man. They weren't. They were rejecting Jesus Christ. That's who they were rejecting. And there's a lot of times that believers, even if assembled in here, and they think they're just rejecting me. You're not rejecting me. This isn't my word. This is the word of the living and true God. This is the word of God. This is the mind of Christ. This is the voice of the Spirit. You're not rejecting me. You're not disobeying what's coming from this pulpit. You're rejecting God. You're rejecting the word of God. You're being disobedient to the living and true God, not a man. I'm just a servant. I'm a servant. I'm the Lord's servant to communicate what He has given in His Word. So they thought they were simply rejecting the teaching of a man, Jeremiah. But in reality, their negative volition and arrogance was rejection of the teaching of the Lord. They would not listen and they would not give attention to me, declares the Lord. The term your forefathers is used four times in verses 2 through 6. Zechariah is giving a very stern warning to the Israelites. Do not follow in their evil footsteps. They refused to listen to, and they totally rejected the teaching of Jeremiah and Hosea. They were contemporaries. They utterly disregarded the prophet's call to repentance, a change of thinking. They totally disregard the order to turn back. Turn back to God and His Word. And that's the key to America where we are today. Turn back to God and His Word. And we close with a couple of passages in Jeremiah. I want to start with a couple passages in Jeremiah. So let's start out Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 11. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is having Jeremiah, this great Bible teacher, teach to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you, and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. They're not interested in God's plan for their life, just their own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. That is, they have scar-tissued hearts in their soul. And then Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, verse 4. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They taught, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever. Now, verse 8. Therefore the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words. You see, Jeremiah was teaching these things, but whose words were they? God's words. Because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar. See, the Lord brought Nebuchadnezzar. And that was an evil kingdom. Chaldeans were evil. That was evil one. But God used evil one to destroy evil two, the client nation to God in apostasy and degeneracy. And God may do that with America. There are a lot of evil nations out there that could be evil one that God would bring in to destroy evil too. It could be communist China. It could be Russia. It could be Iran. It could be all kinds of countries. Because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land, Judah, the southern kingdom, and its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations, I will completely destroy them, fifth cycle of discipline, and make them an object of horror and scorn, and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, that'll all be gone, and voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then Jeremiah 26, verse 3. Perhaps they will listen, and each will turn from his evil way. And then I, the Lord, will relent and not bring on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, the word of God, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. Now turn over to Hosea. Hosea and Jeremiah were contemporaries. They were living at the same time. and communicating doctrine to the same southern kingdom in apostasy and degeneracy. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no, and the word, you might see the word faithfulness, not faithfulness. There is no emet. Aleph, E-M-E-T. There is no emet. Emet is truth. Truth. It's doctrine. Bible doctrine. There's no doctrine in the hearts of the people in the land. There's no doctrinal orientation in the believers. There's no emet. And not only is there no emet, there is no kesev. C-H-E-S-E-D. Kesev. And kesev is grace. There's no grace. There's no grace orientation. There's no doctrinal orientation. There's no grace orientation. There is no acknowledgement of God in the land. You see, that's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, describing terrible times in the last days. And we're in those times right now. We are lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God is way out gone. That's the same way here. There is no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing and lying and murder and stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. And because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another through judging and slandering and maligning. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. This is God's servants, spiritual authority, faithful communicators who communicate the word of God. You stumble day and night, and the false prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your nation. That mother, the mother here is the nation. I will destroy your nation. My people are destroyed. And what's the basis of the destruction, the fifth cycle of discipline? Because of lack of doctrine. No Bible doctrine in their hearts. Lack of doctrine. And because you have rejected doctrine, I also reject you as my priest nation. Because you have ignored the law of your God, because you have ignored the word of God, I also will ignore your children. And that's a part of the fifth cycle of national discipline. So Hosea and Jeremiah were contemporaries, both communicating God's fantastic servants, communicating the truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And the people were in apostasy and degeneracy, and they did not listen to them. Zechariah warned the Jewish people to repent. Hosea warned the Jewish people to repent, to turn back to God and His Word, and to change their thinking, to change from negative volition to positive volition, to change from arrogance to humility. And he's declaring, do not fall into the failure of that generation that went under the fifth cycle of national discipline. Just look at your forefathers who came under the judgment of the fifth cycle of national discipline. They came under total national destruction and slavery. God brought evil one, Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, to destroy evil two, a client nation to God in apostasy and degeneracy. Well, we're a nation in apostasy and degeneracy too. We're still here, so there's hope. And that is if the believers in this nation turn back to God and His Word. There are two things. First, that the grace gospel is given all over America, that many sons might be brought into glory. And secondly, that the believers who are living out of fellowship with God and Satan's cosmic system, that they come to their senses and rebound. That's how recovery starts. Rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. And then seek out a sound Bible teaching church. There aren't a lot of them, but to seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that the pivot enlarges. And if the pivot gets large enough, the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of discipline. Now that brings us to Zechariah 1 verse 5. Zechariah 1 verse 5. And in this verse, Zechariah illustrates his point that he just made with two rhetorical questions. Rhetorical question number one, your forefathers, where are they? Rhetorical question number two, and the prophets, do they live forever? Well, these Jews are going to say, no, our forefathers are dead, but so are those prophets, they're all dead too. But that's not why Zechariah has the second rhetorical question. Yes, prophets come and prophets go. Pastors come and pastors go. But the word of God that they taught is eternal and will never pass away. And that's why Zechariah gives the second rhetorical question, because he knows the Jews are going to say, oh yeah, our forefathers, yeah, they're dead, but so are the prophets, they're dead too. But Jeremiah is saying, but what they taught was absolutely fulfilled. It is the absolute truth, and it never, ever passes away. That's why gives the second one. So there's two rhetorical questions. Rhetorical question number one, your fathers, or where are they? And this is the plural of the noun of, with the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the interrogative adverb I, with the we have a paragogic hey. Oh, not a paragogic hey. We have a paragogic hey in here. Joined by a makef to the personal pronoun heim of A, B. We've had it many times now, and it can refer to father, but it also refers to forefathers, and in our passage it's your forefathers, second person plural suffix, your forefathers. Your forefathers, that is the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, who went through the horrific suffering and disaster of the military invasion of the Chaldeans. The interrogative adverb, ayay. Aleph, A-Y-E-H, ayay. Ayay plus the personal pronoun heim, literally is translated, where are they? Where are they? Where are the forefathers? So one, rhetorical question number one demands the answer, they're dead. Rhetorical question number one demands the answer, they're dead. Two, That generation had their chance to believe the word of God taught to them by Jeremiah and Hosea. They had a chance to have positive volition. They had a chance to have humility and respect for the authority of God and the word of God that God's servants, Jeremiah and Hosea, were communicating. They had their chance. So that generation, they had their chance. But they totally failed. Three, they died under maximum divine discipline. They died the sin unto death. As they went through the fifth cycle of national discipline and the military invasion and the horrific suffering and disaster of that time. They died under the maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, as they went through the fifth cycle of national discipline, the military invasion and horrific suffering and disaster. So, corrected translation. Rhetorical question number one. Your forefathers in Jeremiah's day, where are they now? They're dead. And Zechariah gives this rhetorical question. He knows that that's what they're going to say. Then rhetorical question number two, and they're going to miss this one, but this is given by Zechariah when they say, yeah, well, they're dead too. Then Zechariah is going to say, well, they are dead, but the word of God that they taught was absolutely fulfilled. Exactly as they taught it, it was fulfilled. Yeah, prophets come, prophets go. Pastors come and pastors go. But the word of God will never pass away. And what is taught from this pulpit, I'm not teaching my word. I'm teaching God's word. I'm his servant. I'm his, in the Hebrew, Evid. I'm his slave. And I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I am the Lord's slave. And Jeremiah and Hosea, they were the Lord's slave. And what they taught was the word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. They weren't teaching what they thought. It wasn't them. They were teaching what God wanted them to teach. And that will be fulfilled exactly as God has stated it in his word. It will be fulfilled. And it will never, ever pass away. So the second rhetorical question is very important. And the prophets, do they live forever? This is a conjunction vav prefixed to the plural of Navi. The plural is Nevi'im, the definite article, plus the preposition lamath, prefixed to olam with the definite article, plus the cal imperfect of the verb haya. Now we have the conjunction vav as a connective vav, correctly translated, and. And then the plural of the noun Navi is Nevi'im. And Nevi'im are the prophets, the Lord's servants, the prophets, for communicating the truth of the word of God. And then haya. H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. Now, Haya really has a wide range of meanings. Haya can mean to fall out, or to happen, or to come to pass. It can mean that. It may also mean to come into being, or to become. And third, it can also mean to exist, to be in existence, or to live. And that's how it's used here. The preposition lamath, prefixed to the noun olam, means to eternity, forever, always. So the corrected translation is, your forefathers, where are they now? They're dead. And the prophets, can they live forever? No. But what they teach can live and does live forever and will be fulfilled. So, one, the obvious answer to both questions is no, they're dead. The obvious answer to both questions is no, they're dead. Now, Zechariah is led by God the Holy Spirit in communicating this just this way, very importantly. The Holy Spirit's guiding him to teach this exactly like this in these two rhetorical questions. To discern any objection that the people might give to the warning that Zechariah gave back in verse 4. The returnees might have objected by saying, sure, Zechariah, our forefathers are dead. We know that. But so are the prophets. They're also dead. Who taught Bible doctrine, they're dead. So these events are long past and have no relevance to our generation. So what are you trying to say, Zechariah? Point two. Zechariah refuted that argument. Yes, your forefathers are dead, as are the Lord's prophets that he sent again and again and again. Yes, they're both dead. But the teaching of the prophets was fulfilled right down to the last letter. The teaching of the prophets was fulfilled. The Word of God is eternal. God's servants, the prophets in the age of Israel, pastors, well, apostles in the pre-canon period of the church age, there are no apostles today. Pastors in the post-canon period of the church age are the Lord's servants. We are His servant to communicate the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. So Zechariah refuted that argument. Yes, your forefathers are dead, as are the pre-exilic prophets, but the teaching of the prophets was fulfilled right down to the last letter. The Word of God that they taught is eternal, and the Word of God that they taught will never pass away. Yeah. Pastors come and go, prophets come and go, but the Word of God will never, ever pass away. The Word of God that God's servants communicate, that will never, ever pass away. Three, the words of the prophets given to your forefathers were fulfilled. The words of the prophets given to your forefathers were fulfilled. And such will be the case with this generation, the returnees, if you don't repent and turn back to God and His Word. The words of the prophets given to your forefathers were fulfilled, right down to the last letter. And such will be the case with this generation, the returnees, if you don't repent and turn back to God and His Word. Four. The lesson is obvious. The lesson is obvious. Israel's forefathers were negative and arrogant. They were guilty of rejecting and disobeying God's word taught to them by God's servants. The lesson is obvious. Israel's forefathers were negative and arrogant and guilty of rejecting and disobeying God's word taught to them by God's servants. 5. They turned a deaf ear to the prophets' messages to repent. They turned a deaf ear to the prophets' messages to repent. Six, your forefathers' destiny was to spend 70 years in the depths of demoralizing and degrading slavery. Your forefathers' destiny was to spend 70 years in the depths of demoralizing and degrading slavery, captivity in Babylon. 7. When a people or a nation goes into apostasy and degeneracy, and we got, as goes the believer, so goes the clan, nation of God. When believers get out of fellowship with God, when believers live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, and they stay there and wind up in reversionism, God always gives them time to repent. He gives them a chance, time to rebound. Starts with rebound. Repentance starts with rebound. Get back in fellowship with God. And He gives them time for reversion recovery. God is very, well, He will put up with a lot of believers' cosmic system function because He doesn't want to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. He will. He doesn't want to. He wants to bless us. But we have to start out by rebound, get back into fellowship with God, get into a sound Bible teaching church consistently and faithfully, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And turning back to God and His Word. So God gives people time to repent, to rebound, and reverse recovery. 8. But once the opportunity is gone, their destinies are sealed. Once the opportunity is gone, their destinies are sealed. 9. Failure to respond to Zechariah's message would bring deadly consequences to this generation of Jews, just as it did to their forefathers. Failing to respond to Zechariah's message would bring deadly consequences to this generation of Jews, just as it did to their forefathers. Ten. Pay attention to the teaching of the Word of God. Because, yeah, prophets come and prophets go. That was the age of Israel, and that was the pre-canon period of the church age. Certainly, prophets come and prophets go, and pastors come and pastors go, post-canon period of the church age. But the Word of God will never pass away. So pay attention to the teaching of the Word of God, because prophets come and prophets go, pastors come and pastors go, but the Word of God will never pass away. The Word of God is eternal. And the proof that it is eternal is that its warnings are absolute truth and come true. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, the Word of God, will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. 12. Although the pre-exilic prophets are long gone, the words that God gave to them to teach will be fulfilled. Although the pre-exilic prophets are long gone, the words that God gave to them to teach will be fulfilled. So Zechariah 1, 4 and 5 sounds like this then. Do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, change your thinking. Turn from your evil ways, your evil way of life, and turn from your evil MO, your evil practices. But they would not listen, and they would not give attention to me. And who is me? Declares the Lord. Verse 5, your forefathers, where are they now? They're dead. And the prophets, can they live forever? No. Prophets come, prophets go, pastors come, pastors go. But the Word of God that they teach lasts forever. Now that brings us to verse 6. And verse 6 is, God keeps His word. God keeps His word. But my words and my statutes, this is the adverb ak plus the plural of the noun davar with the first person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the plural of the noun koke with the first person singular suffix. We start out with ak. Aleph A-K. Ak. Now ak is often used to introduce the expression of a truth with emphasis, and may be translated surely or no doubt. It is also used to set up a contrast, in contrast to what precedes, as in our verse. And when that's used that way, it is correctly translated, but, and that's how we'll translate it. And it sets up a contrast between three things here. Sets up a contrast between three things. First of all, it sets up a contrast between their forefathers who are dead with the word of God, which is eternal. So it sets up a contrast between their forefathers who are dead with the word of God, which is eternal. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between prophets and pastors who come and go with the word of God, which will never pass away. It sets up a contrast between prophets and pastors who come and go with the word of God, which will never pass away. Third, it sets up a contrast between God's servants who are gone with the warnings God gave them which will come true. God's servant, it sets up a contrast between God's servants who are gone with the warnings God gave them to teach, which will come true. And then we have davar with the first person singular suffix. That's D-A-B-A-R. And davar is the word for word, first person singular suffix, my words. Who is my? God's words. These are God's words. The conjunction vav, again, is connective vav, and. And then we have koke. C-H-O-Q. Koke. See, you thought it was C-O-K-E. You're wrong. C-H-O-Q. So when you want to order a Coke, it's C-H-O-Q. Koke means something prescribed. It means a statute. It means an enactment. It means a decree. We'll translate it decree. First person singular suffix, my decrees, my statutes, my ordinances. Who is my? These are God's decrees and ordinances. Koke refers to the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, given categorically. And, for example, in our passage, the five cycles of national discipline. And the five cycles of national discipline have been given to us by God and the Word of God in Leviticus. So turn over to Leviticus. Let's take a look at that. It's been a while since we've seen that. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26, we're going to start at verse 14. But if you will not listen to me, and this is what we've had all the way through here, when you get a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, they don't listen to God. They don't listen to the word of God that is taught by faithful pastors. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, Codex number one, and if you reject my decrees, Codex number two, and abhor my laws, Codex number three, and fail to carry out all my commands, and so violate my covenant, the Mosaic covenant, then I will do this to you. And then he gives the five cycles of national discipline. Cycle number one, I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases. We've seen those in our nation. And fever, that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. That's the first cycle. And then the second cycle of national discipline. If, after all this, you still will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. I will break down your stubborn pride, arrogance, and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain, because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then the third cycle. If you remain hostile toward me and continue to refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your affliction seven times over, as your sins deserve. I will send wild animals against you. Today that would be driving on the freeway in your car. I will multiply your afflictions against you, as your sins deserve. I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted. And then the fourth cycle of national discipline. If, in spite of these things, you still do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile toward you and will afflict you for your sins seven times over. And I will bring the sword upon you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemy hands. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven. Economic disaster. And they will dole out the bread by weight. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. And then the fifth cycle of discipline. If, in spite of this, you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger, the function of the righteousness and justice of God, I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. And you will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. And this was true. Yeah, the nation Israel and their idolatry, the worship of Molech, and they took their sons and daughters and put them, tied them to the arms of Molech with a fire underneath, and listened to the screams of their children burned alive. I mean, this just blows me away. Parents would put their children and burn them alive, and then while their children are screaming, being burned alive, they're having sex orgies out with everybody. That's what went on in their idolatry, in their apostasy and degeneracy. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols, and I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins, and lay waste your sanctuaries, and I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. I will lay waste the land so that your enemies who live there will be appalled. I will scatter you among the nations and will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste and your cities will be in ruins, and then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate and you are in the country of your enemies. And then in verse 6, for those few survivors, as for those of you who are left, the survivors, I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though fleeing from the sword, and they will fall even though no one is pursuing them. They will stumble over one another as though fleeing from the sword, even though no one is pursuing them. So you will not be able to stand before your enemies. You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who are left, the survivors, will waste away in the lands of their enemies because of their sins and also because of their father's sins. They will waste away. This has been fulfilled many times. This has been fulfilled many times through history. Many times, nation Israel, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, any client nation to God that turns away from God and His Word. This is the absolute truth. God says what He means, and He means what He says. When He says this, this is absolute truth. This isn't something to laugh at and say, oh, that's not a big deal. This is, God means what He says, and He says what He means. And I love my nation. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. It breaks my heart to see our nation in such apostasy and degeneracy. Now, there have been some changes, major changes, and that may be the beginning of a spiritual revival, and we pray that it will be. And I hope all of you pray every single day. Pray for America. Pray for a spiritual revival. Pray that the grace gospel is given all over our nation, that many sons will be brought into glory. Pray for all of those believers living in Satan's cosmic system, that they come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and then seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that the pivot might enlarge where Jesus Christ can deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of national discipline. This is such a very important passage for us to understand in this day. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.